We got this little video that kind of helps with this, and are y'all got that ready to go? You got it good and loud? Okay. So let's watch this and see if I can survive this.
My name is the Reverend Harry Flatt, and I wrote this song for this sermon I'm going to preach, and it's called Seeds in the Ground. And it goes like this. Seeds in the ground, seeds in the ground, looking for a crop with the seeds in the ground, with the words in your mouth. Seeds sown the right way, seeds hit the ground, call yourself good ground, looking for a crop, walking down the road, throwing seed on the ground, get it up, hey, sow your seed on the ground. So what do you think?
It did. You are fantastic. You're fantastic.
Dude, that was awesome. Dude, you're forever, ever in my dog pound. Wow, smoking hot. Man, Simon Cowell. Dreadful.
What? Utterly embarrassing.
Boom.
I can't believe you even come out here.
Don't listen to him.
Dude, you're a star. You're a star. You're good looking, dude.
Singing.
He had dancing. Dancing and singing.
What moves? What moves?
I never want to hear that song again. I cannot stand it. I'm allergic to it.
Oh, my. DJ left. We lost one board member. Oh, John, am I out of the hunting club now? Yeah, I lost my hunting club rights. Oh my, we believe y'all have a little fun. Johnny Howard is the guru behind that. Wow. Okay, turn with me if you would in your Bibles today too. Psalms chapter 1. We're going to begin there, and we're going to get into Mark chapter 4. And this is the second one of our grounded, and it's based on the parable of the sower. I found a real nugget as I was studying for this the other day, and it comes from the Jewish tradition, and the word is Shema. Shema. Look at your neighbor and say, Shawat? Shema. And this is based on Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 4 through 9. And this is this word Shema means to listen and obey. Listen and obey. And it's the most widely used confession of faith in the Jewish community. Shema. And the custom of the Jewish people is to They recite this in the morning. They recite it in the evenings. And they're supposed to recite it upon their deathbed. This is a part of their life. And it's based in Deuteronomy. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." Then he goes on to say that you're to put these words in your heart. And you're to teach them to your children. And as you're sitting in your house, you need to discuss this. And as you're lying down on your bed, you need to think on this. And as you're walking along the way, you need to discuss this with your children. He says, this has got to be a part of your life. And it's known as the Shema. Shema, because it's the Hebrew word to listen. But it means to listen and obey. Now I want to read something to you in Psalms chapter 1, because this ties into Mark chapter 4. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his laws, precepts, and instructions, the teachings of God. Now look at this. He habitually meditates, ponders, and study by day and by night. Say it with me. Shema. Shema. That's what he's saying. Shema. He shall be like a tree, firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. So, it describes this blessed lifestyle that comes by meditation, by not only listening, but also obeying. Shema. Now go with me to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to find this nugget that I think is awesome here. And it says, got my stuff mixed up here. The first thing that Jesus says in Mark 4, as he begins to go into this parable of the sower, the first thing that he says is, what's the first word there? Listen. Listen. What's the word? Shema. What's the Hebrew word for listen? Shema. He's giving them some insight if they're paying attention. He says, listen. Listen and obey. At the end of the parable, he says this. He who has ears to hear, Shema. So he starts it with a Shema, he ends it with a Shema, and right in the middle is the story of the sower sows the word. Actually, in the Jewish mind, what they are thinking now is, this ties into the Shema. This ties into how we are to love God with all of our heart. See, a lot of people say they love God, but guess what? There's nothing in their life that shows that they love God. We don't love God because we have an affectionate feeling toward Him. We love God because where He is in our heart. And God works in our heart through what? Through the Word of God. Now, I want you to, last week we talked about the hard ground. I'm going to go to her service someday and sit out there and play my cell phone. Let me quickly read this. In Mark 4, 16 and 17. Last week we talked about hard ground. And we said this, that you are responsible for your heart. Your heart is capable of being all kinds of these grounds. In fact, at one time, your heart has been the hard ground, it has been the shallow ground, it has been the thorny ground, and it has been the good ground. You may go from being good ground to hard ground. You have to take responsibility for the condition of your heart. God doesn't control your heart. God doesn't make you do anything. And this whole parable teaches us that we have to take responsibility for our heart. Remember last week we talked about the sower, and we said, who is the sower? Well, we know that God is the ultimate sower because He's the one that gave us the Word. Jesus is the sower too because He is the Word made flesh. But guess who the main sower in your life is? It's not me. If it's me, you're just going to be shallow. Because it's impossible for us to give you everything that you need in 45 minutes a week. You need to become the sower in your life. You need to Shema. You need to take the Word, and you know, in the morning and in the evening, and it needs to be a normal part of your life that you're sowing the Word and keeping the Word in the center of your heart. If you will do that, you can become the good ground. Now, you know, it's possible to be good ground in one area of your heart and hard ground in another. It's possible to be good ground and shallow ground. It's possible to be good ground in one area of your life and a divided heart in other areas of your life. And so we constantly have to be working on our heart. And the only thing that your heart really needs to produce for you to really shema is the Word of God. And that's, you know, therein lies the challenge. Today we're going to talk about the second kind of ground. And it says this in verse 16, and I'm reading this from the New Century Translation. First of all, it talks about the hard ground, the seed that goes by the wayside, and Satan comes immediately to steal the word that's sown in the heart. Then it talks about others are like the seed planted on rocky ground. Say rocky ground. They hear the teaching, quickly accept it with joy, but since they don't allow the teaching to go deep into their lives, they keep it only a short time. Then when trouble or persecution comes because of the teaching they accepted, they quickly give up. You know, this is kind of what Robin was talking about a while ago. That, you know, she's been in church, she loves God, she worships God, but she saw that there was just something that wasn't getting through. Something that wasn't getting through. But as she began to go through the process, the spiritual process that's involved in CR, of examining your heart and examining your motives and let God work on your character, then she began to see a change in her life. A lot of people think, well, I go to church. I go to church. Well, that'll produce a little bit. But it won't produce everything that you need just because you show up at church. The Christian life is more about what you do out there than what you do in here. It's all about seeds on the ground, you know. I want to read this again, the same verses, but this time I want to read it in the Message Bible. And some are like the seeds that lands in the gravel. When they first hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm. But there is such shallow soil of character that when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arises, there is nothing to show for it. See, this describes us, that when we are in the condition that we look like good ground on the surface. You know, when people come to church, we look like good ground. We just look like good ground. We're not hard ground. We're not hardened. But on the surface, if people look at us, they say, well, that looks like good ground to sow on. But they only realize, what they don't realize, is that the soil is only about that deep. It's shallow. And when you sow the seed, it'll start producing because the seed is designed to do what? It is designed to produce. The seed of God's Word is designed to produce the kingdom in you. And if it can find soil to begin to grow in, it will begin to do that. But it says there's a problem because the soil is not deep enough for the seed to take root. Remember in Psalms 1 we read that the person that meditates and delights in the law of the Lord and he meditates in it day and night, he said, he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. You know what happens when a tree is planted by rivers of water? The root system begins to go down and it begins to find that water. It finds the nourishment that it needs and it goes deeper and deeper and spreads out so that it can get the nutrients that it needs. And it says the end result of that tree is that it brings forth its fruit in its season, and whatever that tree does, it prospers. Its leaf doesn't wither. Everything that person does causes it to prosper. So really this parable that is teaching us that our heart produces us, our life. You are the fruit. You are the fruit. You are the tree. You are the plant that's being produced on the inside of you. What kind of heart do you have? Hard heart, or maybe it's a shallow heart. And the Message Bible says that there is such a shallowness of character. Character. And this is what I want to hone in on for just a few minutes today. When we say character, what are we talking about? The word character goes back to the Latin language. And the ideal in the Latin language is, it means an engraved mark, to engrave, like a piece of granite that you engrave something in. And it's etched. It's in there. It's permanent. And so when it's talking about character, it's talking about how you are etched. The marks that are on the inside of you that brings out the quality that you're supposed to bring forth. So a man's character is his fate. Can I say this today? You are where you are today because of where your character has brought you. Say that again. You are where you are today because of where your character has brought you. You may not be where you want to be today, and a lot of that reason is because your character cannot take you there. And sometimes what's on the inside of us, the vision that we have for our life, doesn't match up with what we see out here. It's because we're too shallow in our character. There are things that God wants to work out in our lives so that we can come forth with the things that He wants us to do. And these are character issues. They're not just knowledge issues. Remember I said a few weeks ago that potential is released out of character, not just knowledge. Knowledge is important, but I know people who have all kinds of knowledge and they have no character. They look like good ground. They talk like good ground. They're excited about the things of God, but they never produce anything. Their life never comes. It's not fruitful. It doesn't bring forth any fruit. Why? It's because there's shallowness of character there. And very quickly, I want to talk about several areas of character that we need to look at. Write these down. Go home and think about this. Examine your heart. See where you're at. I want to talk about several characteristics or character aspects that we need to talk about. Number one is courage. Courage. You know what? It's easy to be Christian. It's easy to be courageous when everything is going good and everything is going right. But how do you act when you're in the crisis? How do you act when you're in the tight spot? How do you act when there's pressure? You know, we live in a life full of pressure. We live in a society of pressure. Things just don't just flow easy in life. If they flowed easy in life, everyone would be successful. But if you're going to accomplish anything of great value, guess what? You're going to have to be able to persevere through the pressures and the crises of life. This is called courage. And we need courage in our lives. This is the courage is character in crisis. That's exactly what it is. What do you do when you're criticized? What do you do when somebody says things about you? See, if you're shallow, you become offended. Can I say this? Ooh, how easy are you to be offended? How easy are you to be offended? Are you easy to offend? That's because you have shallow soil. You lack courage. Courage stands up under criticism. Well, I've been a Christian a long time. You know, longevity does not produce maturity. Application produces maturity. I know Christians that are 40 years old and you still have to part the mustache to insert the bottle. They don't have any character about it. They're easily offended. Okay, the second one is loyalty. Loyalty, write that down. Loyalty. Loyalty is character in community. How well do you get along with people? How are you in your relationships and your commitments and your obligations? Are you a person that is true to your word? Are you loyal to your friendships? Are you loyal in your life? Or are you just kind of up and down? Up and down, up and down, up and down. Loyalty. That's something that we don't see a lot of in the world today. Is loyalty. The third one Oh, we like this one. Diligence. That's character in action. Are you constant and earnest? Do you give effort to accomplish what is undertaken? Do you start projects and quit them right in the middle? Do you start out with enthusiasm, but you just kind of fizzle out? When you give your word, do you keep your word? Do you do your job? Do you do it diligently, or do you just do enough to get by? It's called diligence. The Bible talks a whole lot. We could take these characteristics and we could do a series on all of these, on diligence. The Bible tells us that we need to know the state of our flocks. Proverbs talks about that. We need to be diligent to know what's going on in our lives. This is the characteristic that makes us attractive and gives us favor. This is the characteristic that brings forth the Christ-likeness in our life. I'm glad that Jesus was diligent. I'm glad that He was loyal. I'm glad that He could face criticism. If not, He would have never gone to the cross. I mean, if He wasn't loyal, He said, you know, God, you may love those folks, but I don't. I'm not dying for them. I'm not putting up with what I got to put up with just so they can go to heaven. They can go to hell. The next one is modesty. Modesty. That's character in simplicity. That's a person that is free from vanity and boastfulness. Have you ever seen somebody that has to one-up everybody? Dude, I got this new car and it's this. And oh, that ain't nothing. I got, my car is this. They always have to one-up somebody. And you know, we need to live lives that are simplistic, modest lives. We need to be looking for ways to encourage other people and live them up. My vanity, we don't need vanity. I don't need to allow my vanity to control my life. Oh, I want the biggest church in town. I want this. And I'm glad that my church is bigger than this church. That's vanity, guys. That's vanity. Our self-esteem has nothing to do with those kind of things. It's who we are in Christ that counts. Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? If God calls me to pastor a country church and take care of 10 people, that's just as important as what Joel Osteen does. Doesn't get the notoriety, but am I modest? Or am I vain? The next one is frugality. Frugal. Now that doesn't mean what you think it means. But this is how you deal with character and prosperity. What is your prosperity all about? I believe that God wants us to prosper. I believe that He wants to prosper us in every area of our lives, including financial prosperity. But why does He want us to prosper? Is it so that we can live outlandish lifestyles? You know, I don't think so. It has to do with our attitude towards our prosperity. See, the snare of prosperity is this. You begin to look at your prosperity as your source rather than God as your source. And God prospers you so that you can be like Him. Did you know God prospers? God's prosperous. Did you know that about God? God ain't poor. Heaven is a rich place. And there's one thing about God. He is frugal. He is willing to share what He has. Aren't you glad? I mean, He even shared the biggest thing, and that was His Son's life, that we might have life. That was the greatest gift ever given. So frugality is that we live a lifestyle that's not wasteful. God doesn't mind you having stuff. God don't care what kind of car you drive. But He just doesn't want us to be wasteful. The next one, number 6, is honesty. And this is how you deal with truth. Are you fair? Do you deal with everybody the same way? Are you fair in your interactions with other people? Or do you cheat people? Do you lie? Honesty. People who are not honest, guess what? They may look like good ground, but they're very shallow, and the Word of God will not produce very much in their heart because it can't get past the rocky soil. The next one is meekness. Now, meekness is People think that's a weak word, but really it's a strong word. It has to do with character and power. Meekness, men, when you think of men, you don't think of meek. When you think of men, you think of, dude, I'm bad. Oh, I can whoop you. I can whoop your tail. No, that's not manhood. We're going to start a ministry here in the fall called Men's Fraternity. And we're going to discover a whole lot of things about manhood that it's not what we think it is. It's not what we think it is. It's meekness. It's forbearing. It's yielding. It's unassuming. It's calm. It's soft. But it's not weak. It's power. Jesus demonstrated meekness, but he was a very powerful person. And a lot of times we want to yield power. We want to yield authority just to show that we can. That's not meekness. The next one is reverence. And that's how we deal with character and the things that are sacred. It's a gesture indicative of deep respect. It's how you act towards God. It's how you respect other people's rights. It's how you deal with what is sacred. How you look at marriage. That's it. Part of that's reverence. Do you reverence marriage? You know what? If you reverence marriage, there are certain things that you don't do because you have a deep respect for the institution of marriage. What about family? Do you reverence family? Is that something that's important? Is that something that you have great respect for? Did you know that the family is one of the most powerful units that's in our society today? And it's the very thing that the devil tries to rip the guts out of, is our families. We need to have a reverence for the things that needs to be reverenced. God first. It's putting your priorities in the right line and reverence those over things that would challenge that in our lives. We always have things pulling at us in our lives. So reverence is another one. And the last one is called gratitude. Gratitude. That's character in celebration. Are you celebrating life? Are you showing appreciation? Do you show appreciation unto God? Are you too prideful to show appreciation unto God? Are you too prideful to show appreciation to your spouse or other people in your lives that you need to be showing appreciation to? See, this is gratitude. We need to have attitudes of gratitude. Now, let me ask you a question as we sum this up today. Will the lack of these things affect how God's Word will work in your heart? Yes. If you will only let the Word do so much in your life. See, we love God's blessing. We love God's blessing. But we don't want Him messing with our attitudes. It gets quiet when you talk like this in the house of God. We don't want Him messing with our pet sins. We don't want Him messing with our stinky attitudes. We only let it go so deep. We want it to look good on the surface, but if you get to the depth of it, it doesn't produce much fruit. There's not much that comes out of that life. Character is important. God changed your heart so that He could produce Christ-like character on the inside of you. Now I've sown some seed in you today. I want you to take these things home and I want you to think about this. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word today. Thank you that it's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And Lord, it just pierces to the very dividing point of our hearts between soul and spirit and joints and marrow. God, may we open our hearts to you today and be receptive to these things so that you can do the work that you want to do in our lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. What kind of ground are you today? Are you hard? Are you shallow? Is your life kind of divided? I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy. Or are you the good ground that the Word can really work in? See, this whole parable teaches that it's all up to you. Put your hand on your heart. I want to give you a blessing before we go today. As we depart from this place today, may God bless you. May He keep you. May He cause His countenance to shine upon you. And may He give you peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you.